Passion, drive, and patience. The formula of winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything for you to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has it covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices that you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP it needs to be and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Again, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, it's Bubba the Love Sponge. You know, crotch discomfort might be just hurting your game. Fear no more. The kings of the crotch comfort, Manscaped, have spent 2 years designing the most comfortable boxer briefs out there. The brand new Boxers 2.0 from Manscaped take your balls to the royal ball throne. The global leaders in below-the-waist grooming also have the Lawnmower 4.0 for that trimming that you need so that you can wear the boxers and chill. They've even trademarked the jewel pouch, so you know it's serious. I think it's time for you to invest in your family jewels, my friend. So let your bulge breathe and get 20% off plus free shipping by using the Bubba code at manscaped.com. Be proud of your underwear and wear the Manscaped waistband with a badge of honor. Your balls deserve it. Again, you got the Lawnmower 4.0, you got the Boxers 2.0, and you got the Jewel Pouch. What else could you want? It's all happening at manscaped.com, promo code Bubba. Again, get 20% off and free shipping with Bubba as your promo code at manscaped.com. Up your crotch game, because once the Boxers 2.0 touch your sack, you'll never go back.
Welcome. Sorry for the late start. Welcome to Off the Rails with Blummel, which consists of myself, Anna Hummel, and my partner, spouse, partner in crime, coworker, Blitz K.
Boss.
Why is your mic not working?
Because I don't have it on.
Oh, I'm like, it's supposed to be mic four, right?
Yeah, I can turn it on.
Perfect. Thanks so much. Sorry again for the late start. We kind of got carried away chatting, looking at aerial drone footage of places we frequent all the time. We watch like the dumbest shit sometimes on YouTube just because we want to be brain dead.
No, you do.
I do. And so do you. We do. We just look at shit. Sometimes we'll have just the Smithsonian channel on mute and just like, you know, just looking at horrible cities like Cleveland and Baltimore. And they're like, oh, how nice it is. I'm like, no, not convinced. Never want to go. 813-90-BUBBA if you'd like to call in, weigh in on the topics of conversation. Don't really have that much. I wish I had some more exciting things planned in the near future, but I kind of like this weekend we got coming up because we got no plan.
What are you doing this weekend?
Fucking nothing.
I know what you're doing this weekend.
Is this going to be a sexual joke? Oh, you want to go to Adventure Island, don't you?
No.
Go ahead and pitch Adventure Island to me. I've never been.
I
don't know.
Can I tell you what you're doing this weekend?
Are you going to start squeezing that fucking... I hate you. I knew that was coming. That was so... That was cheap.
I know.
You were talking to me about this place called Adventure Island, which, to be honest with you, I didn't even know what it was. I thought it was an aquarium. Apparently not. You are telling me it's a local water park?
Yes.
Can you pitch it to me? What goes on there? Because I asked you during the break, because you started asking me if I wanted to go to Adventure Island. I said, I don't know what that is. You said it's a water park. I said, isn't that for children?
And Rhett said no. And I said, well, yeah, it kind of is. I said, but all theme parks are for kids.
Okay, but like, why do I want to go where there's going to be a bunch of stinky, smelly, gross people, especially kids?
No, you're right. You don't want to go.
I'm just asking. Don't get snappy with me.
You don't want to go. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with not wanting to go.
Okay. Well, can you just give me the pitch? I just want the pitch. Work with me here a little bit.
It's a Tampa water park.
I need more of a pitch. Is there going to be a place where I could have a floating margarita? Is there things like that that I would like that would incorporate some of my favorite hobbies, such as brunch and or drinks?
They do have drinks, and they do have a lazy river.
Okay. All right. Okay, I thought there'd be more there. Guess not. 813-90-BUBBA. But we really don't have much planned for the weekend, if nothing at all. Last weekend was a bit heavy. It was a bit dense. We had the Bubba 199, which was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Bubba 199 is always great because I never, yeah, ever...
We probably should talk about our weekends because we haven't yet on the main show.
Like, what did we even fucking do? Oh, yeah, that's great. We could talk about last weekend. There's a wealth of fucking shit we did.
There was a few times Bubba's
like, so how's your weekend? So what I did.
We're going to get to your weekend at the next break. We haven't talked about it
yet. Next break never came.
Me, you, or Lummy.
Yeah. So it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. So we had the Bubba 199, and I was feeling good. I was in the mood to kind of have a few drinks, kick back. Have a good time. It was probably one of my favorite Bubba 199s ever.
Really?
Yes.
It was a lot of fun.
It was, I liked it. Like, I really liked my birthday one, but I also felt like it was too much attention on me.
Yeah.
So I kind of like it when we're celebrating, but it has nothing to do with celebrating me. Those are always the best because there's cake and there's fun and people are in a good mood and we had some good music. We had a little bit of a party at Clem's Clubhouse. So it was nice. And then what the best part is, the next morning, you wake up, and it's Saturday. And you're like, fuck yeah, I got the whole weekend.
Yeah.
Because usually, if I go out ever, it's always on a Saturday night. Because you can't go out on Sunday.
Yeah, it has to be.
And Friday, I'm too fucking tired. So if I'm going out at night, it's going to be Saturday night. And so it was so nice to just wake up and be like, oh my God, I have two full days. And this weekend was a little bit unusual because you were doing some fireworks stuff.
Mm-hmm.
in the woods somewhere.
Correct.
And I felt like when you were telling me about said event, I didn't know if you felt obligated to invite me because you didn't want to like leave me hanging, but I communicated to you at some point. I'm like, is it okay if I don't go? And you were like, it's more than okay. I just didn't want to not invite you. I go, okay, perfect. So we're on the same page.
That's not what I said, but yeah.
Well, I felt like that's what you were implying, right?
No, actually, I thought you'd have a good time and I'd want to go. Like, I want you to go. But if you're like 1% not having fun, then you just bring the party down to zero. So I'd rather have you not there.
Well, this is a great conversation. okay. Well, I just thought that you were trying to, get me to go to something because you wanted to extend the invite.
No.
Okay, good. Well, yeah.
No, I wanted you to be there, but.
Okay. Well, I thought that you felt like you needed to invite me and I asked you if I could not go because it wasn't just like an hour, two or three or four. It seemed like you wanted to go the entire day.
Correct.
Right. And I didn't want to go the entire day. I certainly didn't want to be there. I asked you when you would be home. You said probably about midnight or so, maybe later.
Yeah.
And I just
ended
said,
up being like 2:30.
Yeah. So I was just like, you know what? I'm good here. I'd like to just stay here and get some stuff done, see some friends, do that business. And then, so you did your thing. You had a good time, it seemed.
That was great.
Yeah. And I did my thing. I stayed home. It was raining, which was nice. So I could just stay in, listen to the rain. And then Sunday we reconvened. Mm-hmm. We didn't go to the beach. That was, the weekend prior.
Right.
Right. So this Sunday, I had brunch with the ladies.
That's right. Yes.
And we love brunch. And I felt like a good friend and planner of brunch where I made the reservation, did all the things. And then I show up at the brunch and we are the only people there.
Really?
Yes. And it was funny because they even did the whole reservation. They're like, oh, Anna, party of three, right this way. I'm like, no one's here. Why did I make a fucking reservation at a place that's not busy? And it wasn't that it wasn't like it was a beautiful restaurant inside, like on the second floor of a hotel. Like it was very nice. Mm-hmm. Walk in, see my girlfriends. The drinks are flowing. We're getting bottomless mimosas because I did the math in my head. And I go, you know, each mimosa is $10. Bottomless is $20. I drink more than two, I get my money's worth. Sure. So that's what we did. We had the drinks. And then it was kind of a shitty day in Tampa. So we kind of wandered around and then just kind of sought refuge in this little Irish tavern, which was, it was cute. It's not a place I like to frequent at all, but my friends do. My friends are beer drinkers. I am not a beer drinker. I'm not a whiskey drinker. So an Irish tavern is really not not for me.
I've been there with you before.
Yes, we have. Why were we there with my friends?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I figured we would. It's close to their place. So they like to go and they like Irish music and stuff. And it's not really my thing, but I don't mind it. And right. We were having fun, good conversation. And there weren't very many people there, which is exactly my idea of a good time. Which is why I'm not so gung-ho on the Adventure Island deal, just because I feel like, especially in July, it's probably going to be packed.
Oh, and, on a weekend, it would be ridiculously packed.
Yeah, so that's just not... I used to like packed things. I realize that's probably the biggest difference in how I like to have fun socially, where it used to be just... Like, if the capacity was just under, like, completely full, that was fun.
Okay.
Not so full where, like, you would have trouble walking through a bar or a venue or a club, because then it's suffocating, but sure. Where it's very busy, but not 100% packed.
Okay.
That used to be, like, my sweet spot. Now, if a place is, you know, actually, sometimes it's nice to have a little bit of a vibe, but, like... Just so you can feel the energy of other people, but yeah. Not so you have to like interact with them or you're bumping into them.
Yeah, you want to know other people are there. You just don't want to like be able to pick them out. Like you don't want to be able to recognize them.
I like other people as white noise.
Right.
That's how I like going to the gym. I like other people there as white noise, but I want every machine that I want to use free when I want to use it.
Yes.
So that's why I was thinking about transferring over to Crunch Fitness, because I did try out the Crunch Fitness in St. Pete, and it's fucking awesome. It's probably the most beautiful gym I've ever seen, and this is, you know, not paid, not an advertisement for anything, but I went there, and they just had so many different rooms, and I mean, the amount of equipment they have, the number of squat racks they have, like, all these things, I was just like, fuck, this place is amazing, but it's busy as shit.
Yep.
And kind of when you just want to go in and get a quick workout, you don't want to be waiting for machines and doing all the things, even though they've got the best equipment and they've got the best machines. I was just like, you know what? Nah, I'm going to just stick at my old faithful LA Fitness. The people are not, very good looking, but that's okay. As long as, you know, it's open when I need it to be open. And I go kind of during odd hours usually. I've noticed that people have really leveled off of the gym even during peak hours, at least at LA Fitness, because it used to be, you know, you hit 5-6 p.m. it's buzzing. Not so much anymore.
Really?
Yeah, maybe they all went to Crunch. Maybe
I don't know, but I went to my gym a few days ago and it was ridiculously packed.
Yeah, your gym always is, even on like odd hours, odd days. It just seems like people, but it attracts a certain type of person. I'm realizing Crunch Fitness is, it has a reputation for, you know, really young, athletic, body conscious, health nuts who just want to get it in. It's rare that I look around and see anyone over the age of like 40.
Yeah,
45.
There's a few here and there, but it's rare. Like you can, like when they walk by, you're like, oh, an old guy.
Yeah, they stand out. Whereas yeah. LA Fitness, it's more like the YMCA. Like it's more unusual to see a really young person at LA Fitness than to see a really old person.
And like you said, you said it right though. You said there are people that are fit and health conscious, but there's not like a bunch of like muscle heads there.
At Crunch?
Yeah. There's a few.
Yeah. It's more of just like a scene. Like it seems like young people want to go there. It's like a club with no alcohol almost.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's not like a bunch of muscle heads like, you know, benching 700 pounds, grunting and screaming the whole time. Like, you'll get that every now and then, but that's not
Yeah, not so much. But there, a lot of the people are, like, very fit, and it's a great place for young people to check out each other's bodies, because obviously the guys have them on display. the girls definitely have their shit on display. I mean, the very tight, either spandex with the sports bra with the freshly done tits. Like,
oh, they're wearing TikTok pants there.
TikTok pants. We got a lot of TikTokers, a lot of Instagrammers with fucking videos of the pussy is what you told me one time.
Sometimes the girls even come there to work out.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes they do. Your gym is usually a bit too busy for my liking. Even on the days where it's slower, it's still like very, very busy, yeah. I think. But yeah, so that's one of the reasons why I've just kind of stayed at my gym. But yeah, maybe we should go out. I wonder if I would even like going out in the capacity that I did once before. I don't think I would. And I think a big part of that actually is not just the pandemic, but I think because since I started working here, my body starts, you know, shutting down around 10.
Yeah.
You know, and usually most of the time I was only getting going to the club at 10. So to think, like, I remember when we were leaving my friend's wedding, I'm like fucking exhausted. And we probably walked out about 9:40.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what are those people doing in line? And I'm like, oh my God, it's Saturday night. The party has barely begun in Ybor. And we are going home because we are fucking tired. So I think that has definitely had a big impact on how I like to spend my time. But I would like to go out. And I feel like we've kind of been invited out a little bit.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe we should, you know, indulge. See how it feels. It's hard because a lot of the stuff that I want to talk about, I can't. Because I understand that I'm the one that chose to get in radio and not anybody else.
Right.
So it is really hard. But what I've realized now is sometimes when people tell me like secrets, it is very hard for me to keep it just to myself. Like it is just, I am bursting at the seams when it comes to secrets. Why is it so hard to keep secrets? I wonder. And some secrets I can keep where I'm like, oh, I really got to lock this down.
Well, because, like, what's the point of having information if, like, you're either going to be like, guess what? I know something. Or tell somebody.
It's like a good meal, you know? You don't want to, you don't want to just have it alone. You want to kind of experience it with somebody. It makes it so much better to just have... You know, because you have a meal alone, you're like, oh, this is good. But if you have someone there, you can comment on it. You can really kind of solidify it. It becomes more of a rich memory. So I think that's what it is like you are like, this is some big news or at least a good story that's going to be amusing. I would like to share it with the folks. But oftentimes we can't. We can't do that. So
I don't know. When I eat alone, I'll be like, rom, rom, rom. This steak is so good.
I mean, sometimes it is nice just to be gross and just eat like a pig out of a trough. Like, that can be fun, no doubt. But in terms of like a memorable experience, something that is exciting, it's just you really want to discuss, especially when there is... Here's the thing that makes secrets hard to keep is when there is a lot of like... judgment involved, I guess.
Okay.
You know, like, say you really didn't get to express yourself to the person who told you the secret because you were trying to conceal how you felt about it, then you feel like you really need to express the feelings that you had at the time when that person divulged that secret to you. So someone tells you something salacious, you want to be like, what the fuck? You can't do that. But you can't. You have to hold it in. You go, oh, that's nice. So then you have to wait. You have to find somebody that you trust to keep the secret that you couldn't keep for them to keep it to yourself. But then at least you can talk about it with each other.
Yes.
Like you give the secret back. You play a nice game of ping pong with the secret. And then eventually, you know, you lose the ball and the game's over. But you need to at least play the ping pong a little bit. A little bit. 81390 Bubba. I'm sorry. I put somebody on hold and then they slipped away from us. But is there anything that you want to do this weekend?
Sleep.
Okay.
I mean, we need to like go outside for.
I mean, if it's raining, I really don't see the point.
It's not going to be raining all weekend, though.
Yeah, it's probably going to be nice, which we always.
Like, it'll have like afternoon rains, like whatever, but it's not going to be raining like all day.
Yeah, I need to get that fucking bike I've been talking about. Been talking about it for so long.
Have you saved up enough money to buy it yet?
Yes, I have the money for it because you gave it to me for my birthday and appreciate that. But I need to, I've just been like so lazy about doing certain things. It's I don't just, know why.
Like realistically too, it's so fucking hot outside.
Oh, dude,
like,
I ran outside yesterday and I was fine. So, I mean, I think biking is less like laborious than running.
Yeah.
So I think I would be fine. And it's just sometimes good to kind of torture yourself in the heat just a little bit. I ran yesterday, and I ran much like I, not much, but I never run the way that I ran yesterday, which was just like very lackadaisical. There, I really wasn't pushing myself very hard. I was kind of sore. It was hot as fuck, and I'm like, let's not get to the point where we want to pass out or we feel sick or something like that, because I've done that before, and it's no bueno. So yesterday, I finished my run, and I, like, walked for, like, a minute here and there, and I was like, is this how normal people exercise, where it's just like, I'm going to go for a run, and there's not a lot of, like, mental anxiety about, like, it being the best run, or, you know, stop being lazy, let's run faster, faster, faster. It was just nice. Right. So I imagine, you know, this is what it's probably like to have a normal brain, and you just go for a run, and you don't have to sprint at the end, which I always do, or at least pick up the pace at the end. And I maybe a little bit I did, but not like I usually do. And it was just very nice, you know, and I really love St. Pete, even though it is evolving and changing at a rapid pace. I saw my buddy Will last weekend and he wants to move. He doesn't like St. Pete anymore.
I don't blame him.
He says that it used to be more of a local town sort of thing with a local kind of arts. It was more funky underground, and then people caught wind of how cool it is, and that's when all of the condos start, new condos, beachfront properties started going up, and everything became very expensive. And we went downtown on Saturday, and it was, you know, he's like, I don't even know, I don't recognize any of these places. I'm like, but you live here. He goes, but I never go out here. So why the fuck do I live in a place where I'm really not even taking advantage of all of the accommodations, right? He's like, well, I would just rather live in a place where it's cheaper and far away from everything, but I'm not using these things anyway. So what's the point?
Yeah.
So I kind of understood that. And then it really made his point when we went to this little like cocktail coffee place, and there was a fight that almost broke out between two Indian men and a cute blonde white chick. And it became very apparent that this group of guys were doing drugs in the bathroom.
How dare they?
The place was called, I'm just going to say it, it was called Intermezzo. It's on Central in downtown St. Pete. We've been there actually.
They have
once.
Some really good custom drinks.
Fucking shitty. That's why I got a latte this time. No alcohol, please.
Holy fuck, that was disgusting.
Yeah, it was very bad. The drink that you got. It was like liquid potpourri, but it was so tasted bad. Like
it was like
ass.
Their signature fucking drink too.
Yeah, it was like the first one on the menu, and it was an expensive drink, probably in the ballpark of $13 to $15.
Yeah, it was like $15.
Yeah, and just absolute trash. Like there's drinks where you're like, okay, like all if you would just give if you would have had vodka, water, and sugar, that would have been better than what you got.
Oh yeah,
terrible, horrible. So we go there, and Will's drinking, obviously. I'm driving. I'm not having anything to drink. And I was like, I'll have a latte because I fucking love caffeine, and it's great, and I like it when my heart races a little bit out of my chest. So we're sitting there, and I used the restroom there, go figure, and it's just one bathroom, like one room with one toilet, both sexes. There's no men's, women's. It was a large room. There were some lockers in there. I don't know if the staff had little cubbies there or something.
Yeah, probably.
Or if that was just the aesthetic. Like, I don't really know. So we're there, and we're sitting there, and we see this girl in line to go to the bathroom. Now, my back is facing her, so I'm not keeping all the tabs. Mm-hmm. And then I turn around probably about 10, 15 minutes later, and the bitch is still in line. It's ridiculous. And apparently, I did not see this happen because, again, my back was facing the situation. But two men entered the restroom at the same time. Now, it's pretty common for women to go to the bathroom in groups together.
Yeah.
That's not uncommon. It's more common among younger women, probably in the ballpark of, well, we're at a bar, so let's say 21 to 26. It's a pretty popular move for a bunch of girls to go to the bathroom together, which mm-hmm. was kind of silly at this point because it wasn't a club. It was probably about 6 p.m. on a Saturday, so it's not like crazy yet. Still daylight. It was raining pretty hard. But so anyways, a bunch of girls went to the bathroom, and then after that, we saw two boys enter the restroom stall. They're in there for about 15 minutes, at which point the blonde chick starts to lose her shit, rightly so, and she just starts banging on the door. Boom, 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 boom. The boys open the door. One of them steps out, and then the other one says, well, now I have to go to the bathroom, and tries to close the door. At which point, the little blonde chick gets in the way of the door and the man and says, you're done. And me and Will are like, woo, 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 like, get yeah. it, girl. Fucking hell yeah. Fight. So the guy immediately starts attacking her sexual reputation, which is just funny that that's the go-to for men and women, is like not to be like, you know, maybe to say you're a bitch or a cunt or something, but yeah. to be like, you're a slut. He was like, you're a fucking whore. You're a slut. I'm like, that seems a
Didn't
bit
even know
much.
Who she was.
No, she was just like, you're done going to the bathroom. You've been in there doing drugs for 15 minutes. It's my turn. And now he's calling this girl a slut.
And there's one bathroom. It's not like, who cares if they're going to go do drugs in like
yeah,
one of the five
care.
Stalls.
She just wanted to go to the bathroom. And there was one room with one toilet in the entire building.
How long does it take to do drugs?
I mean, they were probably like making jokes, cutting it up, like snorting it, keying it. Like, I don't know. But they were not just obviously going to the bathroom and, you know, telling each other, you know, oh my God, I can't believe what John did.
Are you sure they went in there doing
You know, obviously, you would think that that may have been what they were doing. I don't think that's typically not the move. During the day at 6 p.m. at a like a cocktail bar / coffee house. Like that's not, I mean, maybe, okay. Certainly it's a possibility. But, you know, I feel like people having sex once they're finished probably would be in a better mood than this guy was in. Typically, you're not going to be super aggressive after you just fucked. But maybe, I don't know. But, yeah, this guy just starts like, calling her a slut. I mean, to the point where other people were, you know, kind of getting in front of him and trying to calm him down. And
yeah, yeah.
So he gets a hold of the staff and he's like somehow outraged. I'm like, you have cocaine on you. Like, why are you mm-hmm. making more of a scene than need be? She gets out of the bathroom and he just starts firing off, you know, slut, whore, fucking bitch. Like, and she's just like, whatever, dude. Like, you're a fucking asshole. Get the fuck out of my face. Like, she was pretty cool about it. But. You know, in that moment, it's kind of reaffirms like, oh, right, this is why I don't go out very much because mm-hmm. of bullshit like this and people that can't really control themselves. Some people have a problem like going out and either getting drunk or drugs. Mm. I have no problem with anybody doing anything as long as like I don't have to babysit you.
Right.
Or I don't have to do anything where you have to like parent somebody. You really don't want to deal with drama. The best kind of nights are drama filled nights that are at a distance.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the best nights. Nothing where I had to take care of the person, but maybe a friend of a friend was acting up. And so there's enough distance to go, I didn't bring this person. I am not... I have no association with this person, but I get a front row seat to all of the shit that's going down.
Mm-hmm.
I mostly like, if I were to choose my type of drama that I enjoy the most, it's probably like boy, I'm jealous drama, I would say, versus like a fight. Like okay. Violence isn't really fun, you know, it's you just want to escape it because it's you're fearful. Whereas like someone getting upset and having a confrontation can be fun. It can be exciting. It can be the highlight of your night, really. Though sometimes those are the best nights I've had where some shit went down, but again, where I wasn't the one responsible. I didn't have to play mom.
Yeah.
I was the deadbeat dad. I was there, I contributed a little bit, and I left. And I have no idea what happened to everybody else. Like, that's really the sweet spot, if you will, of a good, solid night out. Mm-hmm. Let's take a little break right now. We'll be back in a few minutes. This is mostly just for editing purposes, but we will be back just in a few minutes, so bear with us.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get when you're talking through Mint Mobile. I mean, I can't believe that I've been living some other life with all this scratchy mobile when I can get crystal clear and the best mobile through Mint Mobile. And I can do it all for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. I can afford this. How much have I been paying on my other plan? Probably getting gouged. But it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plan. I mean, I'm talking jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Say goodbye to all that nonsense. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with a premium wireless plan starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Probably get the chicken in the background. Welcome back to Off the Rails with Blummel. 813-90-BUBBA if you would like to interact with us. What's been your go-to videos on YouTube as of recently? Like, are there people... Because I know how I operate. I get involved with someone online, and then I start watching all of their videos, and then I burn out about 2 weeks later.
Yeah, I've been watching some worm composting videos lately.
What about like guys or gals? But
guys
or gals that you kind of most of the time these are people with like a specific set of information that they can provide, right? It's not someone like, I know you like watching Anthony Cumia, who's more of an entertainer, versus like there's someone who might be sports and exercise nutritionist or
Greg
expert.
Set,
right,
more
people
plays,
like
more
that.
Dates. I've been watching a lot of Anthony Cumia with Gavin McGinnis.
It's pretty funny stuff.
Watching that. And then there's like, you know, car channels and like electronics how-tos and things. You know, there's a few of those guys that are pretty steady on releasing videos that I like to watch.
Right.
And you?
I am... It's kind of a strange array of characters, but a lot of Jordan Peterson. I've been kind of dipping back into Ben Shapiro just because he's got a lot of great like one-liners, like shutting people down. He's really good at doing
one-liners. Those must take 2 seconds.
Well, I mean, like when he like makes a retort, he usually shuts people down in a sentence.
He talks very quickly.
He does talk very quickly. So it could be 5 or 6 sentences, but he says it in the time that a normal person would say 1 or 2 sentences.
Yeah.
But he seems to shut things down pretty quickly. And it's just, I think it's really good to watch people, even if you don't even agree with them, but if you're trying to become better in the art of debate, it's good to watch people who are good at debating, even if you don't agree with what they're saying. Just to see their body language, just the tone of their voice with which they're able to conduct a certain amount of confidence to win over a crowd or an audience.
Mm-hmm.
So I pay attention to not just the content, but the context and the contextual clues and stuff like that to see. Because usually, much like a fight, most of the time in debate, there's a clear winner of who has convinced the audience. Not always, because sometimes people... Like, if you are, you know, Ann Coulter and you go on The Daily Show with Noah Trevor. Is that his name? Noah Trevor? Trevor Noah. Trevor Noah.
Yeah.
If you go into the lion's den, like one time I saw Tommy Lahren go on the show, and God bless her. I mean, she's going into a place, even if she makes the best, most cogent points possible, she's lost the crowd. The crowd doesn't want her there. So that takes a certain amount of balls to do that. So in that case, you're going to lose, but that's only because the audience is extremely biased.
Sure.
You know, I like watching it, you know, to the best of my ability, where you have just kind of more of a respectful, less of a studio audience, and then you have two people debating, and you can tell by just the audience, the claps, and, you know, the oohs and ahs when someone makes a counterpoint of who's winning the debate. So I like listening to I've been listening to a lot of Daily Wire type stuff. Like, I don't know if you know who, is it John Walsh? Is that a guy that's
with, I know that's a name.
Yeah, with Ben Shapiro and something Knowles, John Knowles or something, Candace Owens. Like, I'm interested in a lot of the things that they have to say. I agree with a lot of the things that they have to say. A lot of their things on marriage and relationships I'm very interested in because I'm not a biologist, but I think in a scientific way.
Yeah.
And I understand that there's a need for a biological context within marriage or just society in general, but also like the way that I live my life is very non-traditional.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unconventional. Like 35, not married, no kids, fucking dicking around doing, you know, radio and Brazilian jiu-jitsu. That's not something that most women my age are doing, which is totally fine. So I'm very curious to think, you know, to hear what people have to say about what makes a successful relationship or life. And, you know, it seems to be with the conservatives, it's, you know, children, marriage, you know, stuff like that, that brings them, as Jordan Peterson, he goes, that won't give you a happy life, but that will give you a fulfilled life.
Okay. Traditional stuff.
Yeah. Jordan Peterson is, I don't want to say he's a nihilist, but kind of. Like, he'll get in these, like, these ruts where he starts talking and just kind of going down the rabbit hole of, like, well, life isn't meant to be enjoyed. Like, he'll start saying stuff like that, and the crowd's like, it's hard to clap when someone's like, you're not supposed to enjoy your life. You're supposed to be impactful. It's like, well, that doesn't sound fun, Jordan. Like, come on. Have a drink. Or don't, because you're an alcoholic. But
so I thought Canadians were supposed to be nicer.
He's nice. He's very well-mannered. He's just not very upbeat most of the time. And then the jokes that he does make are are often just kind of sad. Like, he says it in just a sad kind of like, well, this is just how things go. And,
yeah.
You know, and he's like, well, you know, there's going to be good times, but he's like, there's going to be more bad times. And you're like, okay, all right, Jordan, thanks for your input, buddy. So I've been listening to a lot of that, but also my new obsession is the provocateur, the contrarian, Andrew Tate.
Yes.
Been listening to a lot of his stuff, and I've reached out to him, I hope I hear back, and trying to get him on the show, because I really think that the Bubba Army would really enjoy his hot takes, because he says things that you're just not supposed to say in a well-mannered society. It's just, you know, he says things you're not supposed to say anymore, and I appreciate that, even if I don't necessarily agree with all of it.
I was watching him last night, actually, on a...
And what did you learn?
He was on somebody else's... Well, I think somebody else was on his Twitch. Or another Twitcher was on his stream. And he kicked him off.
Because he said men and women are equal or something?
Yeah.
On his Twitch, does he play video games or is he more...
I don't think he... Well, I don't know for sure, but I don't think he has a Twitch. He's been going on others...
Oh, and he got kicked off someone else's.
No. He kicked somebody off of his live stream. I think it was like on YouTube or something.
Oh, okay.
It was a Twitch guy on his live stream.
I see. Was he talking about just the same shit he always does?
It was like a highlight of when he kicked this guy off.
I didn't
watch the whole thing. But yes, basically, yes.
Yeah. So if you don't know who this guy is, he really came out of left field. He's just, I never heard of him. And I'm pretty, you know, I feel like I keep my finger on the pulse of a lot of things going on in lots of different spheres, whether it be, you know, comedy, pop culture, not so much pop culture, but, you know, if Rogan has a big guest on or something like that, mm-hmm. in the science circles, in the self-development circles, like, I really kind of, I like a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Not so much makeup tutorials. That's not really my thing. Baking videos, but mostly with self-development, science. I like a lot of history stuff and psychology. Like, those are the things that I like.
Sure.
I like brain hack, biohack shit.
Yeah.
Although I've been listening to like very little of Dave Asprey, and he is fucking annoying. I used to be all
I thought that was your guy.
He was my guy, but he got out of the rotation, and now he's like saying shit like, and maybe he's right, because I don't know anything about this, but he's like, the reason why you're getting sunburned is because you're having too many nut oils. If you stop eating peanut oil, you won't get sunburned. So like, maybe you shouldn't do that. You don't need to have deodorant. Stop wearing deodorant. If you just do this, then your body won't smell. It's like, dude, shut the fuck up. Okay. Sometimes you're going to be smelly no matter how many fucking pieces of cabbage you eat. It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
So... my new dude is Andrew Tate, and I like him because do you remember when Patrice went on, like, it was some news channel station and made a joke about it? You're talking about making rape funny.
Yes.
Like a joke about it. And the best part.
It was like a local, like a Channel 11 New York or something.
Yeah. And he starts engaging with this woman, and mm-hmm. he's saying stuff, and he's a comedian. So he's always in comedian mode, even if he's not on stage at a comedy club.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what he was saying was hilarious, but the best part was really her reaction to him getting so upset, which, like, fired him up more
mm-hmm.
and made the bit, like, more entertaining to watch. So that's a big reason why I like this Andrew Tate guy, is because he's such a contrarian, and when he tells women to their face, like, you're not equal to a man, and... You know, it's disgusting if women sleep with multiple men, but men should not just be with one woman. And just the outrage that they have is fun, because he'll say things that, like, women are more emotional and they can't handle blah, blah, blah. And then to see these women get upset, he's, you know, they're really making his point, which isn't doing them any good. So the best interviews I've seen with him that involve women is where there's little to no reaction. Like, they just kind of smile and, like, okay, and move on. And I feel like those are the women he respects the most, because they're able to, like, keep it under control. Because he mm-hmm. knows he's saying crazy shit. That's why he's saying it.
Of course.
So, but listening to him, you know, sometimes he's making some points and you're like, not wrong. Okay, mm-hmm. I see where you're going. then he'll like make a hard left and say something kind of outrageous, and you go, all right, okay. But what is interesting, and what is a point that I feel like is lost among many people in our environment right now because of all of the you know, the rights of women and equal, but and equality and being the same are two different things. Like, you can have equal rights, but be different. And I remember when I went to college back in the day, this was something that we talked about openly. I took a human sexuality class with like an extra like seminar kicker. Like, it was like, I don't know, accelerated seminar. So it was like a class we went to once a week. And then we also had a group where we would kind of advance ideas and talk more of in a small group setting. And we were able to kind of put a lot of these ideas out there. And it was actually really cool. It was a human sexuality class taught by a couple in their like 60s. So they were a married couple in their 60s. And they're like openly telling us about like cunnilingus, and just, it was just funny to see them interact and make jokes about it and do that sort of thing. But it was pretty well understood and accepted that, you know, there's nothing wrong with being different. I remember they said, like, we're really not, you know, opposites, we're just different. Mm-hmm. And we're not, you know, just because we're, you know, we are equals, you know, the partners would say we're equals, but we are fucking different. Like, there's differences between men and women, and nobody seemed at the time, the student body didn't seem to be outraged by that statement. Again, this was back in 2007, 8, so a long time ago. But, and it's funny how quickly, like, culture changes. Like, even in the course of just a summer, everything can change. Right. So you look at the Me Too movement before and after. And I want to say, I think it started in 2017 with Rose McGowan. I forget even what she just like called out some people in Hollywood. She like made a tweet and then it went viral, and then she made a hashtag and it caught on, and then a whole new movement was born.
Yeah.
And there were segments at the Bone that they cut out. I remember there was a segment called, I think it was called Touch a Tush. Where,
isn't that what Drew did that?
Yes, it was a Drew segment, and I think Drew would feel butts. And again, this was all consented. I'm sure waivers were signed, and all everything was covered legally. But there was like a touch a tush where he would touch a tush and blindfolded, and he would guess if it was a male or a female, or if he would have to guess who it was. Maybe, I think it was male or female, and then he would go on to guess who the individual was. Excuse me. And I remember that, like, spring of 2017, that was a segment on the show. And by fall of 2017, that was not a segment on the show anymore. And they never did it again. And they'll never bring it back. Like, that is now a retired piece. And so it is interesting to see the speed at which culture changes with these, like, massive movements that happen. And it seems like it's a bit of a witch hunt, where it's like, all right, now we got to find everybody that we think is a witch and burn them at the stake, mm-hmm. to kind of rid society of all of these people who've done. And then, you know, you find, obviously you're going to find the gems that you want to take out, like Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby. But then kind of you throw the baby out with the bathwater, and then you start getting rid of people like Louis C.K., who you're like, okay, well, that was creepy, but was it really wrong? Like, I don't know, a lot of, what's his name? Aziz Ansari, you know, it's like, did he really rape a girl, or did the girl just regret it after she hooked up with him? Mm-hmm. Like, kind of get in that gray area sort of thing. But it seems like, you know, Al Franken had to resign, Cuomo, even though that was a little bit later. You know, they just kept outing people, like, one after the other. Boom, boom,
Al Franken,
boom, boom.
Well, he was the one they were like, hey, there's some dirt on it. He was like, I quit. I resign. Like,
it was
right
ridiculous.
Away.
Like, he forced a woman to kiss him. And the picture, they're like, he's grabbing a woman's breast. It's like, he's clearly just going like this,
you
know?
Yeah, in the air.
In the air, not touching
them. He was probably more worried about, like, what might come out.
That could be it. I mean, maybe there were more incriminating things.
He folded
things
really quickly. Like, they were like, hey, you did some bad stuff. He's like, okay, I'm out.
Absolutely. I mean, maybe there was more incriminating stuff right around the corner, but he did not. They said, we think you should resign. He goes, I just resigned an hour ago. We're done.
Yeah.
fine. So it just seemed like that was a huge transition that happened very quickly. The whole knee during the national anthem thing with Colin Kaepernick, that caught on like wildfire. And then it went from, you know, black people getting shot to the whole national anthem thing. And is it disrespectful on the veterans? And it was like, why are you? What is this? How did this come about? But that's what happens when you have social media and everybody's on social media and things catch on like wildfire. And then all of a sudden you have these massive movements where something that was acceptable literally a couple weeks ago is completely out of the question now because of what it implies or whatever the case may be.
Sure.
So when you have these massive swings of like social change, it's kind of nice to have an equal and opposite reaction with people like Andrew Tate or like these the Mansphere guys, that it's like men need to be men and it's like, what does that mean? And everyone just fucking blows up, gets, you know, completely incited, full of rage. But what I want to touch on, and what is something that I see in my life a lot now, is that, you know, we are telling, and I'll just focus on women because I happen to be one, but, you know, we're telling women that we can play the game like men, like psychologically, in the mm-hmm. dating sphere, mm-hmm. like whatever. Well, we can talk about career later, but in the dating sphere, it's like, no, you can have sex with a bunch of guys and you can feel empowered about with it and like, fuck that, and hot girl summer and all this sort of shit, and you don't need no man, but whatever.
I'm canceling hot girl summer,
right,
by the way.
Right, and covering your tits so that no one can fuck you because of...
Until tomorrow.
Yes. There's a woman I follow on social media quite closely, and she's so entertaining because she's so stupid.
Quote unquote entertaining.
I find her wildly entertaining because she is a very attractive woman, although I've seen her without makeup, and there's a big discrepancy. Like, we're talking, she's maybe a 5, and she goes to, like, an 8.5. Like, it's
oh,
big.
She has a face?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I did not
right.
know that.
She also has fake breasts, and she is a spicy Latina, and she has a lot to say about things she doesn't know anything about, which is just amusing to me. And when Roe versus Wade was overturned, she was striking. She was putting a strike on sex. She's not fucking anymore. She said she was covered up.
She ain't gonna show nobody else them titties.
She said I'm not gonna. And she said she wasn't happy about it either. And that she was not gonna show no more motorboating. I think she took that off the table.
She did. And no one was gonna see her titties.
No one was gonna see her titties. She was wearing a turtleneck, and then literally the next post was a titty post.
It was like her in a bikini.
Like the next photo was a titty post. I'm like, okay, great. So, I find those people to be very amusing. But going back to my original point is that, and this is, you know, people in my circle that I hear a lot of women talking. They're dating. They're single, and they don't know if they're single in this, and they're trying to play the game like a guy. And because society's told us that we're not just equal, but the same. That gender exists completely and wholly, but also doesn't at all.
Sure.
Right? Women are amazing and this and that, but also gender doesn't exist and it's a social construct. Like, okay. So it's a little bit, you know, conflicting where it's like, mm-hmm. you know, you have trans people, but gender isn't real. So it's like, well, then why would they want to transition from male to female if gender isn't real? Why would it just, wouldn't
That's
it just be a homogenous, you know, whatever? So, I feel like society's really made it acceptable, which is fine to make something acceptable, that, you know, women can go fuck around and play the game and have no strings attached sex and all that sort of shit. But what they fail to recognize, and why I feel like so many women might be unhappy doing this sort of thing, is that we do not have the same psychology as men. And that's okay. I don't understand when this started becoming not okay. You can't play, you'll never play the game as well as a guy in terms of not being attached because you're not a guy. You don't have his psychology. You have other weapons. Like, don't get me wrong. Women have their weapons, but they're not the same weapons as men. Men can easily have sex with you and not feel any sort of attachment to you. It's very easy. Not always, you know, not always. Not every guy, you can't extrapolate. Not every woman. We're obviously talking averages here. I know my audience knows that. But a lot of the women in my circle have seemed to think that they have now you know, evolved past the last 40,000 years of human hominid evolution, and they've somehow been able to rid themselves of the shackles of typical biological female psychology. And I'm here to tell you that you can't do that. You can't do that. You got to know what kind of psychology you have, what you're capable of. And it's no problem if you start trying out new things, trying to play the game like a guy, and then quickly come to realize, wow, it seems to be the case that every person I sleep with, I become attached to. So maybe I should withhold this sex, not so much because I'm a slut or not a slut, or I'm, you know, God won't find me pure or whatever. I don't care about that, but mostly in an act of self-preservation, self-respect, self-esteem. You know, I've done things, you know, I'm not just talking about sexually, but like in general, that I do something and the consequence is me feeling not good about myself.
Okay.
Whether it be, you know, lifestyle stuff or dieting, this, that, overeating, undereating, whatever case may be. And the outcome is me feeling bad about myself for whatever reason. That is typically an indication, as our emotions always are, to guide behavior back to where you would thrive the most, whether it be happiness, whether it be safety. You know, if I'm feeling very uneasy about walking down a dark alley by myself in a short skirt, like, and I have a kind of a close encounter where something could have happened, that's probably going to guide my behavior to not do that again.
I would hope so.
Right. You typically, not everyone, sometimes it takes a few you know, situations for you to finally learn a lesson. But I feel like that is what your emotions are there for. You don't have to antagonize them. You don't have to numb yourself with mood-altering drugs so you feel less anxiety. I'm not saying anxiety isn't a thing. I know some people have issues with it to the point of even throwing up in the backyard. But listen, everybody experiences anxiety. Everybody experiences depression. I'm not saying that those things can't be chronic and issues. They obviously can be. But instead of trying to numb yourself and say, oh, I'm feeling anxious, let's smoke some weed, let's do this. It's like, let's fucking tune into that. Why are we feeling anxious? Is it because you're a piece of shit that doesn't have a job and you're not looking for a job and you're unmotivated and you're feeling like crap about yourself? So instead of trying to get out there and get a job, you go, I'm anxious. I have anxiety. Now I'm going to numb myself with some marijuana. Then you smoke weed. You feel better about yourself. And then you go to sleep. You wake up anxious again because you're a piece of shit. And then instead of trying to deal with the problem, you just try to medicate yourself so you don't feel any sort of ill emotions about the state. And the problem is you should be feeling those emotions because you are a piece of shit. And you need to stop being a piece of shit. And the only way to correct that is to change your behavior, not try to put a Band-Aid on the anxiety that you're supposed to be feeling.
I got to be honest. I don't appreciate you talking about me like that.
I'm sorry you feel that way. I had to address the camera, but really I was addressing you.
Clearly.
No. And there's nothing wrong with like having wine time or fucking smoking a joint after work or whatever. But if you're doing it as a coping mechanism,
right,
that's a problem.
Right.
That's a problem. To the point where you're not changing behavior, you know, that's a problem, I think, in my opinion. I'm not a doctor or a lawyer or anyone that has any certifications that matter whatsoever. But I feel like I'm pretty observant. And not that I've had such a huge sample size of friends and encountered so many people, but you know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, as Blitz likes to remind me often. I'm 35, and I've seen some things, I've met some people, and when you start to get a sort of a, not a heuristic, because that's more of like a psychological thing, but an archetype of person, where you go, this is a type of person that does these sorts of things, and you can typically predict people's behavior by what they've done in the past, and what people like them have done in the past, and you go, okay, this person is, you know, claiming to be anxious, and they're using that as an excuse for why they literally can't get anything done in their lives. So, with that said, I think it's important to embrace your differences, not in a sense where you're, like, proud of them. I'm not proud to be a woman, and I've said that before, and people are like, oh my God, I can say that. Well, because it's just, I didn't earn it. It's just something that happened to me during conception. One of my father's ex-sperms got in my mother's, obviously, ex-egg. And my genetic biological makeup was determined to be female. And so I didn't earn this. It was just something that happened. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not proud of it. It's just what is. It's like the same as saying I'm, if I were to claim that I'm proud to be a brunette, that would be an odd statement to make. Be like, I'm proud that I have brown eyes. It's like, no, I just, it is what it is. I don't know. That's how I feel about being a female. It's like, it is what it is. I'd be proud of like my progression with radio or a sport or working out or whatever the case may be, something where you actually had to impose a change in your life and it made a positive change in your life. That's something to be proud of, not something that just is what it is. I don't know. So it's a little bit odd, but I don't want to say embrace your differences in the sense that necessarily they should all be celebrated, but more so in the sense that just so you can, once you kind of understand your psychology, you can kind of get a better control of it. You know, like when I started taking, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
I started taking these, you know, evolutionary psychology classes and started learning about the adaptive nature of these emotions and why they exist. It was a lot easier to deal with them. So it's like when jealousy would arise or anger would arise, you're like, okay, anger is an emotion that bubbles up when you're trying to rectify something that in your mind is you've been treated unfairly. So whether it's like you didn't get a promotion that you thought, or you didn't get the grade that you thought, something you're trying to rectify something that you think is unfair. And that's why you get angry. And then you're kind of able to logically get yourself out of a bind where that emotion completely controls you.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like what I was going to say with like with anxiety. It doesn't, like knowing you have it doesn't fix it, but a lot of times people that have it will like get into that panic mode and then it makes it worse, like thinking you're the only one that has this, you're, you know, whatever. So knowing what it is, like, we'll stop that. Stop it from getting worse.
Right.
Well, it doesn't fix it, but.
And we've done enough marketing with mental illness. So this whole stop the stigma, like, it's now it's like almost like a badge of honor if you have a mental disorder, which is insane.
No, I disagree. I mean,
I don't. People are proud. They're like, I'm like bipolar and I'm on fucking lithium and SSRIs.
Oh, there are people like that. Yes, I have
a problem. It runs in my family. My dad was an alcoholic I have ADHD. Yeah. People like wear it like a badge of honor.
But it tends to be people who
have nothing else to offer.
Well, not just that, but they might not actually like have the, you know, ADHD. They might have a little bit of it because I think everyone at some point has, you know, but they, you know, they want to think they have it, self-diagnosed.
There's nothing interesting about them, so they have to resort to a mental disorder to kind of like stand out from the pack. You know what I mean? Like they don't have any like talents, or they're not super athletic or artistic or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. So their new thing, their new community, their new like group and clique is: I have depression. I have chronic anxiety. I have whatever, some sort of, not schizophrenia, that one's kind of like the redheaded stepchild of thing. Like, no one is, like, proud to be schizophrenic.
Not yet.
No.
That's coming.
That's like a hard drug. Like, anxiety is marijuana. Depression is like, you know, kind of, it's kind of a fun, a little bit, like, I'm trying to think of another drug that people do, like, recreation. Maybe Coke or something. But when you start talking about schizophrenia, now we're in meth zone.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, no one does meth recreationally, or if they do, it's very rare. Most people have a problem with it. Mm-hmm. No one is, like, I've never met anyone or heard of anyone who does heroin, like, at a party only. Like,
I mean, I'm sure there's a few people.
I've never met any, is what I'm saying. It's not a story you hear where, like, oh, I didn't get attached to the needle. I just do it, you know, quarterly. It's that typically is not the story you hear.
I actually knew a girl who did, like, meth every now and then.
Yeah, that's unusual, but it can happen. Yeah. Like with marijuana, it's a lot of people, I don't want to say are addicted to it, because like how do you define addiction or whatever, but I would say that it's pretty accepted in the society right now. Even though it's not like federally legal or whatnot, it's not like reefer madness or what it used to be. It's being very commercialized. It's been being called medicine now, so it has a different connotation.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like heroin or fentanyl or something like that. And that's kind of where schizophrenia is. No one's like, I'm schizophrenic and I'm proud. It's like, oh shit, you're going to shoot up a school. You're Son of Sam. Oh no.
Right.
But like, for example, I have OCD and it's something I have to deal with. It's not something I'm proud of. It's something that sucks that I wish I could just kind of snap my fingers and be done with it and kind of just live a bit of a more carefree existence. But, you know, I'm trying to muscle through it, but it's not my identity.
Right.
Or I try not to make it my identity. If anything, the best thing that you can do for your mental illness is separate it from self. Because
yeah.
When I was having issues in college where my OCD was ramping up and also my workload was ramping up, I had a lot of things on my plate, and the OCD typically would ramp up when I was less productive so that it would kind of fill my time. It was weird. But it was when I was a sophomore in college, I was about 19, 20, and it started ramping up and my workload started ramping up, and it became to the point where I didn't know how to cope with it. So I I sought counseling, help, psychiatrists, all of the things. And what they told me, like all of them told me, is that you are not your disease. That was what they told me. We're going to teach you how to cope with it. But in my mind, my OCD and my personality were like so intertwined that I didn't know where Anna ended and OCD began. Like I thought it was just who I was.
Okay.
And the best thing they told me is that's not who you are. Like, get that out of your head. That's not who you are, because if it's who you are and you believe that's who you are, then there's nothing you can do to help yourself, because it's just like inbred in your DNA. So the best thing they told me is like separate yourself from the disease, and that way you can kind of conquer it. But if you can't even see your enemy, how are you going to beat them?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now it's almost like reverse. Like, you should wear like a badge of honor, the fact that you have depression. It's like, stop telling people that. Like, help them help themselves, you know? But that's just how I view things. But, you know, going back to the whole dating and this, that, and the other, and why I feel like people like Andrew Tate are a good, you know, obviously they're contrarians, but it's a good way to just kind of reset and reevaluate certain things, is that men and women are different and oftentimes have different needs and desires, and you can't try to beat someone at their game. There's just, you're never going to be a better swimmer than a dolphin, so don't even try. You know, just learn your game the best that you can, and that is the best way to kind of deal with all of the trials and tribulations of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you can help it, get a dad who cares. That is wildly
helpful.
If you can do that for yourself,
I think Isella's on Amazon now.
If you can get one of, if you can get yourself one of those, a dad that gives a fuck,
mm-hmm.
then that is very critical. Or it doesn't even have to be a dad. It could be just a parent or someone in your life that's a guardian taking care of you that tells you not to put up with bullshit. That is imperative for you to be a self-respecting adult.
The good thing, though, is that a lot of girls that don't have dads growing up, when they become older, they find a dad.
They find daddies, yes.
Mm-hmm.
They do. And I think there's really something to be said for the daddy issue complex.
Hot, right?
Yes. And I remember probably the most tense interaction I had on the air ever was with no other than SBK.
Okay.
Soul Brother Kevin, where he was hosting Drew's show because Drew was out for whatever reason. This was probably about 5 years ago. And we got on the topic of strippers. I've been to a handful of strip clubs in my life, not very many, but mm-hmm. a few. And I knew a few strippers throughout my time in San Diego, especially, but not enough to really, you know, say I knew a good proportion of them. But much like we do in radio, is sometimes you make a claim and you got to just fucking stick to it.
Yeah.
Just for the art of debate, the art of entertainment, but also I truly believe this to be the facts that I said, yeah, strippers have daddy issues, all of them. And he said, you can't make that claim. And I go, I think I just did. And he became enraged with me that what? I was making a claim that, well, you'll find out why, that I could make a judgment call on an entire group of people simply by their occupation. And if I was willing to make such a broad generalization of someone based on their occupation, then that clearly you can extrapolate that to anything like race, for example.
Oh.
So that's where that conversation headed. And
imagine
boy,
that.
Did it. That was, and I was the phone screener. I wasn't even a co-host. I was literally just taking calls and decided to chime in and say, yeah, well, all strippers have daddy issues. And he goes, you can't say that. I go, I just did. And he said, well, like, why would you even make that claim that all of a group of people are the same? I said, well, being a stripper is a choice. I mean, unless you're being trafficked, like the girl in the picture or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's take those people out of the situation. But
she had daddy issues.
She had serious daddy issues. But, you know, she was trying to be a, what is it, aerospace engineer and ended up, you know, in a strip club in Tampa being forced to sell her body, you know, because she was held at gunpoint.
You
otherwise,
think she would have been at 2001.
Right. Odyssey.
The spaceship, or the spaceship.
I know, because she liked the space, but she was at Mons Venus, okay? It wasn't her choice. Her whole life wasn't her choice. So I made this claim, and what was great about it is, even though I didn't have the data to back it up, the people came in to my rescue.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, did the phone lines light up, and we had bartenders from strip clubs, bouncers from strip clubs, fucking owners of strip clubs calling in, confirming the fact that every stripper they've encountered, and they could really like kind of boil it down to like one or two like basic issues. Like dad wasn't around, a boyfriend got him in, but why did the boyfriend, well, that she didn't have a dad. Like it all went to like an unstable home life during childhood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I mean, nonstop calls, and everyone was saying that I was right. That he obviously tried to pivot and make it a race deal. And he said, so can you make an assumption about me because I'm a black man? And I, in that moment, saw the trap that laid before me, because you start saying things you don't mean to be offensive, and you know, God forbid, I was like, well, do you like fried chicken? Oh my God. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So I was very careful. I like paused and I said, I'm not falling for that. I'm not falling. And then he tries to bait you in.
Of course.
Tries to bait you in. I go, I'm not falling for that. I know what you're trying to do to me right now. You're not going to tarnish my reputation.
That was half of his show is trying to bait people into a race argument.
Yeah. And it was like he was trying to catch me on the line. And then I tried to find like the most benign like thing I could find about an ethnic group of people. And I said, so what if I make an assumption? And it's because he made an assumption about me. So I was able to kind of reverse the heat.
Okay.
Because before he asked me to find like to pull up all of the music for like the intro music.
Okay.
And we could play. It didn't matter if it was royalty free or not because we were just on the air. And I remember we came back from a break maybe like an hour or two before because it was a 4-hour show. And he was like, I wouldn't pin you as someone that would like this type of music. Like it was some sort of like jazz, blues, something with horns, like. Maybe it was Grizz. I don't know. But he was like, I wouldn't pin you as someone that would like this type of music. And I just laughed. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I love whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, a couple hours later, we're in this really tense debate. And like, reach out to me. And let me know if you heard that, because it was really uncomfortable for many hours. And actually, Seth was there and he didn't say a word like for about an hour and a half. And John Senning was quiet as well. It was literally just me and SBK,
promo
which
John.
Was very scary. Yeah, Promo John at the time. And I said, SBK, tell me this. Why would it be so terrible if I made an assumption about the type of music you like? Why would that? Because all you're going to do is correct me. Like, so what if I assumed you like rap? Do you like rap? And he's like, yeah. But that doesn't mean every. I go, right. But then you just go, I don't like rap. And I go, okay. I'm like, you made an assumption about me an hour ago when you played that song and everybody remembered. You played the song and you said, quote, I wouldn't pin you with someone that like that likes that type mm-hmm. of music. And I go, well, why did you say that? Because I'm just a little nerdy Jewish white girl and you didn't think I liked some fucking like bluesy shit or whatever.
Right.
And he's like, oh, that's different. I'm like, it's not different. So what if I make an assumption about that? Who cares? It's benign. So what if I make an assumption about the type of food you eat? Like, if I see a Chinese person from China and I assume they like fucking noodles, it's probably because they do, because it's part of their culture. Like, who cares? And he was just like so beside himself. So, you know, he starts baiting me into trying to bait me into the hot topics, you know, in terms of like, you know, propensity for violence or something like that.
Yeah,
or education or intelligence or something that would get me in a lot of fucking heat, mm-hmm. a lot of trouble. So I was able to it was uncomfortable, but I was able to kind of step around the landmines. And I mean, it was so bad that Drew called me after the show. Like, he's like, are you okay? Like, that was fucking uncomfortable.
Yeah,
it was. John Brennan called me. John Senning called me. I'm pretty sure I talked to Seth. Like, I was on the phone with literally everybody because it was a problem. But thankfully, the people took to my side and they were just, a lot of emails were sent saying that, like, SBK was trying to make Anna look like a fucking racist. And it was really uncomfortable. But I've managed to kind of.
What station is SBK on these days?
I can't recall.
Okay. I didn't know.
And at this point in my life, like, you know, to be honest with you, probably for the first year after I was fired, I had a lot of animosity towards the man. And now I honestly, truly wish him like nothing but the best. Like, I don't care anymore. I'm so glad that I work here now. I'm so glad that I don't work at the Bone anymore. That is a fucking sinking ship. And I, you know, I'll say no more in terms of, you know, who's telling me what, but I'm so thankful that I'm here.
I actually turned it on yesterday and they were complaining that they don't have air conditioning in their studios.
They didn't have air conditioning? Dude, they didn't have internet for like a month. Like, people were telling me that they were having to use their phones. There's like no Wi-Fi password either, so.
Oh my God.
They were having to use their phones because the fucking, I think someone hacked their computer system, I don't know, and they weren't able to get internet for like a month.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was a couple months ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it lasted like 6 weeks. It's like, how the fuck are you supposed to get anything done in a business environment with no fucking internet? So I think all the people, like sales was all working from home, and then the on-air people would just have to just deal with, well, Calta was at his house, so he didn't have to worry about it, but for the few people that were actually in studio, they'd have to just like use their phone to come up with stories.
Mm.
So that's fucking annoying, but I'm very glad I don't work there anymore. You know, obviously, I'm very grateful for SBK for a lot of things. Me getting fired is one of them. And just in general, like, not, I don't believe everything happens for a reason. I believe I'm just very lucky. That's all I believe.
Oh, so I just looked it up. He has changed careers, it looks like.
What does he do now? You don't have to say where he works, but what does he do?
He is now a full-time truck driver.
Really?
That's what it
FTE.
Says.
Yeah. Full trucker effect. Okay. Well, thank you for listening to me rant for as long as I did. There we go. And wow, it's already noon. Time flies when you're just talking about yourself. Thank you guys for listening. Blitz, thank you for everything.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And have a great weekend, everyone. I will catch you on the other side. Don't drink and drive. Have fun. Be kind to each other for the most part. And we'll see you Monday morning. Goodbye.